All right, we're good.
Great. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our final CCG call of the year. Thanks for sticking with us. So today we've got Isaac Henderson, who's joining us to talk about a CCG work item, verifiable issuers and verifiers. But before that, I'm going to hand over to Harrison, who's going to tell us the results of the election, and we'll find out who is the new CCG chair joining me and Harrison in the new year. Although before we get into both of those, I'm just going to run through the, you know, standard patter for the start of this group. So, first thing, code of ethics and professional conduct. I think generally we do a really good job of this, but, you know, treat people with respect. We want to create a warm, friendly, collaborative environment in these calls and in the work we do with each other. So, yeah, keep that in mind in your interactions in this group and community. Next, IP note. So anyone is welcome to participate in these calls. However, substantive contributions to any of the CCG work items must be made by members of the CCG with full IPR agreements. If you're not sure about this or you want to join and need to be pointed in the right direction, just reach out to any of the chairs and be happy to help you with that. Just a quick brief about the call. So this call will be recorded, takes place in Jitsi. The recordings will be made available after the meeting. We use IRC to manage the queue. So if you want to get put on the queue, you can type Q plus into the chat, or you can also raise your hand in the Jitsi interface. Okay. Next. Introductions or reintroductions. Is there anyone new to this call who'd like to say hello to the group, or anyone who's not said hi for a while and just wants to unmute and say hello? Feel welcome. Okay. No worries. Maybe in the new year we can all say hi to each other again. That might be nice. Okay, announcements and reminders. Does anyone have anything to announce or remind the group about? Lucy.
Thank you, Will. I have an update about the California and DMV MDL hackathons. So as many of you probably know, we, the California DMV partnered with OpenID Foundation to co-host two community hackathons focusing on adoptions of mobile driver's licenses, particularly California mobile driver's licenses. And we did the two hackathons and we had really good results. And just want, we have a public briefing upcoming in the new year on January 10th. I just shared a link. So that is public to everyone. So at that public briefing, we'll be providing pretty much the public and particularly the stakeholders, the relevant stakeholders, the learnings, the outcomes, and the next steps. We'll also select some of the use cases that were presented at the hackathon to share with you. So just want to share it with you the link. You know, you're most welcome to join, especially if you're working on MDL-related projects. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Lucy. I wonder if it might be worth having you or some other representative come to the CCG in the new year. Maybe we can coordinate offline.
Okay, great. Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Lucy. Any other reminders or announcements for the group? Okay. Not hearing any. Okay, so I don't have any progress on CCG work items to share, but does anybody else? Has anybody else been working on any work items and would like to share an update? No. Okay, that's fine. No worries. So I'll move into the agenda. And the first thing I'm going to hand over to Harrison, who's going to talk us through the CCG election for the new co-chair position.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Will. And I just want to, before I announce the results, I just want to say big thanks to both Mahmood and Joanne for actually stepping up and submit their nominations. Very, very glad and very, very happy to see people stepping up and then take leadership. It is a very, very close race, but at the end of the day, there's only one culture of precision, that we're voting for this time. And then I want to congratulate Mahmood for being our next CCG culture. I will send out an email probably later today or tomorrow to the email mailing list about the election results. And then the turn of the next CCG culture will start in the new year. And then we will actually not have a meeting next week and next week. And I'll send out an email about that as well. And then we will resume on January 7th. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks, Harrison. And yeah, welcome onto the team, Mahmood. I look forward to working with you. I don't know if you want to say a few words. You're welcome to, but don't feel pressured to. So.
I'd love to. I want to say thank you all for the vote of confidence. I hope I can live up to it, and I'm looking forward to working with all of you to hold up all the wonderful values we've been working on and holding for the last few years. So thank you, everyone.
Great. Thanks, Mahmood. And I guess I will say thanks to Kimberly. I mean, I only got to work with her for a year, but she was delightful to work with as a co-chair of this group. I think we were all lucky to have her. Okay, moving on to the main topic. Isaac, over to you for your presentation on the verifiable issues and verifiers list.
Okay, perfect. Can you hear me? Right?
Yes.
Okay, great. I can try to share my screen, so. Okay, perfect. Great. Hello, everyone. Thank you for this opportunity also to share regarding the work item or the task force which we worked on in the past year and the progress we made. And also we would like to share the update with you all. So the work item is called Verifiable Issuer and Verifiers List. And so there were initially quite a few persons working on it currently, and myself and David are quite other ones leading and the task force, and also currently actively working on the data model. So in this agenda, I will be giving you an overview of why is it required and what is the motivation behind this list, verifiable issue and verifier list. And then I'll directly provide the data model update regarding our current standard. And then I will also look into the details, how the verifiable issuer service looks like, and then the verifier service look like. And then also regarding our data draft writing plan and also the next draft publication in the GitHub, and also then follows the feedback and questions. So I don't have many slides. I think it will take another 10 to 15 minutes, I guess. So the main overview, as we all know, actually, this trust problems, right, or the trust issues in this decentralized identity management system, is how does the holder know before presenting a credential to the verifier this whether the issuer is trustworthy. And the same thing applies when the verifier gets any credential from a holder. How does it know whether this is coming from the right issuer credential, right? So this is some of the trust triangle problems we know, or everyone knows this existing. And the main thing is it can be easily solved by relying on some centralized authorities, but rather how do we do it more in a decentralized approach. And so that's what this task force or the work item addresses. So how do we manage this issuers and verifier list actually in a more decentralized way? And also any entities or any organizations who wish to create this list, how can they deploy it? And also how can they manage it at their own end? And because depending upon the use case, for example, not everyone needs data information regarding every service providers with whom they are involved, especially when we talk about not only just the credential use cases, but also mission identities and stuff like that. And how do we reduce the risk of misuse of data? Because when just some data are not used by some by entity and it's just laying around, so it can lead to, as we all know, to data loss or data leaks, and then which in turn can also create problems. But also having these kind of transparent way of communication can also ensure quite accountability in the ecosystem. So that means what type of data the issuers are using, and what type of schemas the verifiers are using to disclose, you know, so these things can be handled quite in a decentralized way. So one efficiency is when we use this list in a decentralized way, so it is quite easy for faster onboarding of any service provider into the ecosystem. They need not have long queues to be onboarded via a centralized authority or any like federated catalog or whatever it can be. And also, for example, if there is any revocation problem or, you know, during time process of revocation, the service provider can also be removed from the list very easily because you are just maintaining the service providers with whom you are just interacting and not need not go through some third party or intermediaries. So here I just brought you a GAIA-X scenario or the use case, which is quite relevant or active in the European community at this point of time, although we all know the UD wallet is also going in there. But I think this is a little bit in our head, which also just addresses not only the natural person identities, but also the organization identities and also B2B use cases. So that's why this is a little bit in broader sense rather than the natural person identities. So as we all know, this is these are the three planes. This is an architecture or high level architecture of how the GAIA-X functions at this point of time. So there can be the main aim is actually they want to build a decentralized, federated or interoperable sovereign ecosystem. So that means for automotive use cases or mobility use cases or, you know, industry manufacturing use cases, anyone can have their own ecosystems and function independently, but at the same time under the compliance of GAIA-X actually. So at this point of time, they have a GAIA-X trust registry or a GAIA-X compliance service in the trust plane, which is kind of like a centralized authority and which is responsible for onboarding or issuing credential to the ecosystem members when they are being onboarded into this ecosystem. So the ecosystem cannot just issue this credential, but rather the GAIA-X trust framework or this trust plane as a centralized authority need to issue this compliance credential for every members participating in this ecosystem. So which again leads to, you know, so the kind of a centralized approach where the ecosystems don't have much say on it. So rather they need to just depend on the compliance of what the GAIA-X does. So that's why here, and also this is also one of the scenario where we thought how this can be updated, for example, because when ecosystems are speaking to one another, they need to know whether this is coming from a trusted issuer or not. Because when you have a centralized authority, it is very clear it can be done. But when how these ecosystems, when they maintain their own trust list, how do we know? So that's why we created a data model as a part of this work item, and this is comprised of three main categories. So one is the operator information, who is operating this list, and then is the service provider metadata information, and also multiple services offered by the service provider. And so we have a three level actually, and which can be compassed into a JSON format. So currently we are working in JSON schemas actually. This approach was inspired from the ETSI trust list data model from the AIDAS version 1 trust list, which was initially aimed to address or store only the service provider metadata and the X509 or the legacy certificate information. So then when it comes to decentralized, I think they are still working on it, but since we have been forefront in working in this ecosystem or based on this approach, there's no model currently for decentralized identity management. So that's why we thought this is a good opportunity, and also this can be used not only just to certain sectors, but also it can be openly adopted by different use cases and different for different scenarios. And the service, as I mentioned, the operator information comprised of who's operating it, and the service metadata is, as you see in the right and the right side. So this is the service provider information, so which comprises of the organization behind us who's offering the service. Some organization can be an issuer and verifier, but some can be just an issuer. So it depends. And here we see, as we see the UUID or the trust service provider name and the trade name, including we also support, for example, the entity identifier list, because it depends upon the policies. Sometimes the verifiers need to also fetch whether they are BLEI compliant or for ESO compliant and stuff. So that's why we also have these information in this data model. And so this is the meta information, which also includes this information URI and also for the legal URI. So this is an education use case actually. So where we are trying to show this use case. And so under this service provider, each service provider can have multiple services. So this is one of the service actually, where a service provider is considering them as a credential issuer. So it can be a university here in this use case offering a diploma and a certificate actually. So here they are identified based on the service type identifier, which is a unique identifier. It can be either HTTPS or DIPS or, you know, any UIDs, whichever it can be, is flexible to support. And we also store the public keys of both X509 certificates and DITs here. So in the service digital identity. And here, for example, the service definition URI, for example, regarding the metadata related to the service, for example, where this credential revocation list is being stored and, you know, status list and these information can be stored here. And also here in the additional information, we also have what type of credential this issuer is authorized to issue, because when we just have a public key stored here, then it is really difficult to identify. So that's why we want this granularity. So that's why we also include the credential types which they allow to issue. And in addition to this, there are also contracts and policies because in some of the use cases in Gaia X, there needs to be a negotiation happening between before any data is authenticated or authorized. There needs to be a negotiation happening between a holder and you know, the issuer, for example. So that's why we also support these kind of contracts where the parties can define their own contracts, and when this contract doesn't match, then the negotiation part will fail. And this is also comes with the supplier part, whether they are getting the credential from the right issuer or not. So, and this all comes with the status, which also has a feature of status actually mentioning that whether the current status is active or not, because we do not want to for the long-term sustainability, and also if some credential is issued long time back and if the service is not anymore active, but still you will be able to find this identity of the public keys of the certificate and the schemas which was used to issue like 10 years back from the service information. So that's why this needs to be always active, but the status can be inactive, and you know, so we also have a status starting time and ending time by which it can be also useful for accountability and for logs actually. And so we also have a verifiable verifier service, because as I mentioned, so this issuer is for validating the authenticity of issuer, and for example, verifier is the one who's at the end of the day dealing with the data, because verifier needs to get the right data and they shouldn't fall into some certain compliance problems, right? So whether they are getting the right data or not, so that's also mentioned here. So here, similar to the issuer service, the verifier also has their own unique identity, which is service type identifier supports it. And here we also support both legacy identities or X509 certs and DITs. And this also comes with the status by which we can retain the information of the verifiers in the list for a long time. But in addition to these information, the verifier has a unique the schema URI actually, as we see here, regarding what type of schema or the data which they are allowed to validate, you know, which they are allowed to get from the holder. Because sometimes the verifier can easily misuse their rights and they can just ask for more data beyond which they are allowed. So that's why we have the schema checks, which can be also validated before giving any details from the holder actually. If the holder finds it or feels that the verifier is asking more data what they are supposed to, then this can be checked in this list actually. And we also have a kind of the online portal of the URI details of the verifier by which we can validate the trustworthiness of the verifier before any VP is presented to the verifier. So these are the two features these are the two data models which we prepared, and this can be all composed into a single list or single JSON file. And each service provider can have multiple services, and this is also a unique opportunity where there need not be a new trust list created for each and everything, but rather the service provider information can be just updated in the same list so that the reuse of information can be done at this point. So yeah, as a part, actually, what we are at currently, we have come up with a data plan, and currently we are comparing it with the Etsy model, and we are planning to publish it, the first version, by mid of Jan, and then the version 2 draft will be released in the GitHub by mid of February. And currently this data models are also actively deployed or developed and already integrated in the GAIA-X trust infrastructure for Federation services, which is also an open source where we have also tested it and also integrated into the verifier and also in the onboarding service. And currently we are also doing an implementation in RegiTrust infrastructure, where we are also integrating the trust list or this verifier issuer and verifier list into this ecosystem or into this onboarding process of health credential or health service providers. So yeah, currently we find the we are in the process of testing in these two use cases. So once when that is done, I think we would be good to publish the .2 draft by the mid of February. Yeah, so that's a short update. So now I'm open for questions.
Great. Thanks a lot, Isaac. So jump on the queue if you have any questions or comments. Like, I have a quick sort of meta one. Like, where does this work take place currently? Like, how, like, say I wanted to get involved, how would I do that?
Yeah, so we meet twice a month, actually, the first and third week of Thursday. We meet in the Jitsi, and actually from 15 to 16 CEST, so I need to find the time, so 15 to 16 CEST, yeah. I can also just mention that in the PowerPoint, yeah.
Great. I mean, this is a me thing. I don't know. Is this like online? Like, you know, somebody who's asking you, oh, I'm really interested in that. Would you point them to somewhere and be like, look, here's the details about this task force or group? It's just I was looking before the call and I couldn't see anything. That might just be me.
Okay. So we work on a document. Actually, maybe I can share the link of this document once this call is done, or I can also give you information regarding that. Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe you could send an email out to the group. That would be nice.
Yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thanks. Dimitri.
Thank you so much for presenting. So I have a couple questions. One is, can you show, so we've seen an example of what an individual issuers or verifiers service description mm-hmm. object looks like. Can you show an example of, what the outer list, let's walk back actually, because I want to understand whether this is list based or API based. So mm-hmm. I'm a verifier. Somebody hands over a diploma to me, mm-hmm. Signed by, you know, example.edu, mm-hmm. and I go to look up the issuer in mm-hmm. A VIV issuer registry. Mm-hmm. What does that initial request look like?
What does the issuer request, or what does the verifier request actually?
What is the verifier's request to the issuer registry look like? So when I want to fetch that original list of mm-hmm. Known verifiers.
Yeah. So the verifier, in their policies, they can have which list they subscribe, for example. And this API, when you just query with the issuer details, for example, it will give you the results of the complete service along whether, and also whether it is present in this corresponding list or not, actually. So it will give a Boolean information in addition to the metadata. If it is present, it will be also giving you this service additional meta information, which you can use it to validate it.
Got it. Is there a way for the verifier to fetch the list of all of the known? Okay.
Yeah, there's an API to do that, yeah.
Okay, understood. And then the second question is a more general one, sort of just mm-hmm. positioning in the ecosystem. How would you say, how would you differentiate or explain the spec with regards to the other two or three projects that are aiming to do verified issue and verifier lists, such as OpenID Federation and DIFF's mm-hmm. Credential Trust Establishment spec? So where would you position this spec opposite of those two?
Yeah, so exactly. So this is a complement to those specs, actually. So, for example, OpenID Federation, the metadata information is not quite elaborate, you know, so they have quite specs related to the JWKs and also, for example, JWT tokens, for example, quite specific details regarding it. And but the metadata of service provider in detail, to this extent, there is no granularity actually at this point of time. So they can, for example, integrate this metadata into their OpenID Federation, you know, the well-known config or whatever it can be. And or there are also some other lists, as you mentioned, like EPSI also has a DIT trusted issuer registry, which just gives the public key actually as a output, right? So, but there's no other metadata being stored on blockchain, for example. So it depends upon the granularity, and the metadata is currently absent in those ecosystems or in those services. So that's why where we position ourselves not to create something new like these things, but rather this is a complement thing which can be integrated into those ecosystems.
Sorry, David. Oh, yeah, David, on cue, right? We can't hear you, David, if you're talking.
Yeah, we can't quite hear you.
It says you're muted on the Jitsi client, if that's...
Oh. Yeah, David, we cannot hear you. Yeah.
Maybe I'll get to Harrison first and we come back to you, David. Harrison?
Yeah, my question is that different trust frameworks have slightly different governance, right? So mm-hmm. the users of this basically are trusting that trust framework. So I'm just curious, like, does this spec include, like, identification around the trust framework? Like, in this case, if you're talking about Gaia-X, like, does mm-hmm. it have a URL to Gaia-X, and then as well as how their governance work and things like that?
Yeah, so this spec doesn't give the details, but it gives some recommendation of existing good practices, so of the existing ecosystem, because that's really a good point, because how do we really navigate that space? So that's where one of the implementation, which is existing as available as open source, is the train ecosystem or the train infrastructure, which acts as a bridge across different trust frameworks, actually. So you have an option to integrate your own trust list, or, you know, like EPSI or CHECT or different other trust anchors using DNS. So this is one of the recommendation which we have, actually, but on all our source code is also open source, but we don't say it's up to the user to choose it, but we don't give some concrete definitions of fix on that, actually, but rather we give some recommendation how this can be taken over.
Because I see that there are attributes around service identifiers, like, why don't we include something like trust framework identifiers or things like that? What are the pros and cons of including or not including such an identifier to the trust frameworks?
No. Yeah, so since we want to align ourselves with the ETSI standard and make it interoperable, because these attributes were, some of the attributes were defined by them, you know, 14 years back, and they're still applicable to the today's use case. There they had something called scheme information and stuff, but we want to avoid the name scheme because it is not anymore relevant. So that's where we brought the framework name. But since issuer and verifier, we see it is always as a service. So that's why we are having it as a service identifier based on the spec defined in the ETSI, since we are inspired from them. So we just want to keep the namings. But there is no restrictions, but because of this inspiration, yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks. David, do you want to try again? Maybe no. Oh, I see you off mute, David. If you. No, we still don't have you. Yeah, you are off mute on Jitsi. I don't know. Maybe it's something to do with your browser client. I think it tends to work best with Chrome, but I don't know.
Yeah, try a different browser or maybe type in the text.
Yes, if you type in your question, I'm happy to read it out. Yes, sorry. Lucy, in the meantime, Phil, please.
Yeah, question to Isaac. I think I want to go back to Dimitri's question earlier about, you know, OpenID, Federation, the other complementary, approach. And yeah. do we have some examples we can show, like how, you know, the training approach that can actually, whatever is being defined, like the verifier and an issuer list and the, you're working with David on, how can we show an example of how that could be complementary and to, you know, OpenID Federation or others? Potentially leveraging RegiTrust. I'm saying this because, you know, we're working together on. It probably be helpful. Having worked on RegiTrust project for a few years, I understand, you know, there's like richer metadata, but I haven't seen kind of example from, you know, from OpenID Federation. As I know, many are considering adopting, you know, using OpenID Federation, which is, you know, kind of natural evolution from what they're using today. So if there's a kind of more concrete example that we can show, be super helpful, you know, for me as well. So that's
Yeah, definitely. So currently we don't have a running demonstrated or directly integration with OpenID or Federation yet, because some of the codes are not yet open source, if I remember rightly, because we are not having all access to their code base at this point of time. But we have an architecture on how this can be realized actually using this train or RegiTrust infrastructure. Maybe I can share that screen with you all. So, because I didn't want to, it's a little bit off topic, so that's why I didn't, but I think now I can share my screen and show you something that makes sense. 1 minute. Can you see my screen or not yet?
Not yet.
Okay. I think now it should be visible. Perfect. Yeah, so I think so. This is something which we have developed, this component called Trust Validator, actually. So we have developed this in a quite modular way, where different interfaces can be integrated. So, for example, currently we have integrated XML-based trust list, JSON-based trust list, and VPC-based one. But in future, we can also have, we are planning also to have the OpenID Federation integrated over here, actually. So that's a plan, but we have not yet completely done this part, actually. Because there are some schemas and some parts which are still needs to be clarified within the community along with OpenID. But since OpenID says, because we also had a discussion with them, but they say there is no restriction to include metadata, but this needs to be done in a formal way. But that's something which we are looking into, actually, which is open gap in the spec, but this can be leveraged, actually, with this additional information or the complementary what we provided. So maybe, but that's something which we are yet to explore or integrate. Actually, we have not finished the complete integration yet.
Thank you.
I'm not seeing anyone on the queue. I have some more questions. My questions are more about the CCG and, like, you know, like you're one of a few people or groups who are doing a CCT work item, right, and are kind of in that process. I don't think we as a CCT community have that process fully refined. Like, I just wonder if you have any comments about how we as a community could help work items like yourselves, you know, get through the process to like completion.
Yeah, so that's something definitely we also wanted to discuss that actually with you. So today, so currently there are some requirements, right? So it needs to be tested in two implementations and then it will be accepted as a working group, if I am not right. Or is there any criteria?
I think the criteria is, I might be wrong at this, so people can correct me, but I think the criteria is you guys tell us that you think it's finished, mm-hmm. and then we put a call out to this community group, and mm-hmm. there's open for, like, you know, comments and objections. If okay. that passes, then it's finished, and it can be published as, like, a final report with a W3C link. But it's still a CCG, like a community group report.
Mm-hmm.
I think for it to get adopted in a working group, that would be up to the working group that would form, right? And then they decide which work items they might want to bring in to like work on more formally to get them mm-hmm. through like a proper W3C standard.
Okay.
So they're separate things basically. But I'd love okay. to help, this group could help you get to a final report, right? And I think that would be the yeah. first step. So it's, once it's a final report, then it can be like, oh, this thing's pretty, in a pretty good shape. Working groups would start considering you know, advancing it further, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, that's something which we are planning to publish the .2 draft by end of or by mid of February, actually, because now our data model is complete and we need to just write some, bring it into a draft format, right? So which we are working on it currently, and so once when that's done, then we will also notify you regarding that by latest by mid of February. So it's does the timeline look fine or?
Yes, I mean, I think so. I think that's fine okay. to me.
And then I think we can give it as a comments for the community to address or, you know, respond. And then once when that's complete, then we can proceed further.
Yes. Yes. So that's kind of like the more formal process of the CCG, right? And help you get a report published. But I was more wondering about like, how can we as a group of people, like, I feel like we don't have good visibility always of all the work that's going on for all the people. And like, we don't have good ways of creating entry points for people on this call who might want to join, you know, and help you, right? It seems like it's, at the moment, it's just you, Isaac, and David, right, who's been like churning away at this.
Yeah, we had different people actually before, a lot of people, but I think then, I think somehow I think it got a little bit less and so myself and David were just taking it further actually. But mm-hmm. Yeah, we are open actually. So we are like everyone are open to, we are open and if you are willing to participate, we'd be really glad and open to get your comments and feedback. So yeah, mm-hmm. so I can send you the details because maybe the communication which we send might not reach the right channel or not. I'm not sure because I also don't always get all the CCG emails actually, which is sent to this public group. So I'm not sure actually. So I need to just maybe look into this communication problem. So fix it and then it should be fine.
Well,
I guess.
Well, if you email me after, let me know when you've sent it. Mm-hmm. I can see if I receive
okay.
it. Maybe Dimitri okay. also has some ideas.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think Dimitri was also part of it. Yeah, but I'm not sure in the time. Late. Hi, Dimitri. You all raised the hand.
So I have a different, not really process question, but what's the best way to see the updates to the spec? If I go to the GitHub spec on the URL, mm-hmm. That's this thing in chat. I don't see the example of the issuer metadata that you were showing on the slides. Where could I go to see those updates?
Yeah, so currently this one, we have a document where we are maintaining it actually. So this is what I mentioned actually. So we are planning to publish the data model as soon as possible by mid of January in this GitHub. because this is not yet publicly available here in this GitHub, so which we need to do it actually. Yeah. Which will be made available latest by mid of Jan.
So you've been working in a Google Doc or something because it's
Exactly.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So.
Okay, does anyone have any more questions or comments for Isaac? Or about anything, right? We have the end of the year, so like our Christmas final thing. Any reflections or, I mean, I'll open up the floor to anything. And if there's nothing, then I guess we can close early and leave. Yeah, Harrison, why don't you say that to everybody in the with the voice?
Actually, I have one quick question for the verified issuer and verifier folks, which is, what are your current thoughts on maintaining either did rotation history or key rotation history in the registry itself?
So, yeah, so we have not thought about that part actually yet, because we are not quite constrained to dids. So that's why we want to have the list open. So we also support the JADIS and SADIS signatures also, in addition to the VC-based signatures. So that's why we have not thought about that one in detail related to the DIDs yet. Yeah, but it's something which we'll take away and discuss it. And we can also have some bilateral call after you if you want, actually, into the details.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Great. Thanks. Well, okay, so I'm not seeing anyone else on the queue. Final moments. In the meantime, I'll echo what Harrison said in the chat. You know, have a great holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Look forward to continuing the progress of these groups in the new year. Yes.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for doing a work item. Always appreciate it. Great. Well, have 15 minutes back as a little Christmas present. See you later. Bye.